Hello and welcome to this afternoon's meditation class. And because this is the fifth Saturday of the month, that there is no introduction to meditation class, and that occurs on the first, second, third and fourth Saturdays of the month. So is there anyone here for the first time just coming for the introductory class? You are. Are you okay to, do you know something about meditation? Because on these classes, we usually teach more deeper teachings on meditation, and we usually end up sitting for 45 minutes. So if that's a little bit too much for you, what you can do, when we start the meditation, meditate for however long you think you're comfortable, then you can very quietly just change your position, and then get down again afterwards. So we do apologize if this is a bit more refined for you, but the introduction to meditation class will begin again next Saturday, on the first, second, third and fourth Saturdays of the month. You're most welcome just to listen in and see how you go. But for those of you who've been meditating a long time, I just, in my trade, having come back from teaching two retreats, one in Kuala Lumpur, the other one in Penang, did receive a very nice email from someone in Canada who'd been following the teachings over the internet and on CDs, who said that she really appreciated the fact of teaching a value adding to every stage of the meditation. And by value adding, I mean deliberately adding value, interest, worth to every stage of the meditation. So, for example, in the present moment, you see the value. You see the sort of joy, the peace, the worth in just being in the present moment. Or seeing the value just in being silent and not giving a commentary to what's happening. Or seeing the value in being one-pointed on just the breath instead of having many, many things to think about. And also the value of that is full awareness of the breath, where you see the breath from the very, very beginning of an in-breath, right to the end of an in-breath, from the very beginning of an out-breath, to the end of the out-breath. And by seeing the value in these things, she said she also understood what I said about learning how to hang out, you know, with these stages of meditation. In the same way that kids hang out with their peers. They spend time with them, they like spending time with them, they're very, very stuck together, and that's what we call like hanging out. And so I wanted to focus on that way of putting value and worth into every stage of the meditation, and also how that helps us reach a stage of hanging out with these stages. In other words, being comfortably at ease with each of these stages of meditation and not wandering around somewhere else. If you hang out one place, you can't be somewhere else. So if you're with the breath, you're hanging out with the breath, as they say, you can't be thinking of the dinner coming later on this evening. So how do we actually achieve this? And there's like two ways of achieving this, and what is the carrot and the stick approach. And it's interesting, the Buddha actually used both approaches when he taught meditation. The stick approach is not looking at any punishment, but looking at the negative of not being at these stages. When the Buddha once taught the emptiness meditation, where we focus on stilling through the way of emptiness, he said, focus on what's missing. And he said, like when you're in this monastery to his monks in the middle of the forest, now, just remember that it's missing all the noise of, not the traffic, but the chariots in those days. Or the people sort of moving up and down and shouting and giggling or screaming at each other. So in the forests, in the monasteries, you don't hear that sound. Remember, you don't hear that sound. And that will give you a sense of valuing the silence. And he said, when you're just living in the forest, compare that to when you close your eyes and meditating. And there too, there's something missing, something which you don't see or hear or smell. And that will give you value to where you are. Another simile for this is, many of you know, I just came back from teaching retreats in Malaysia. And I only came back yesterday afternoon. I do travel a lot, and many of you who also travel notice that whenever you land at Perth Airport and you come out there, the air is so clean. And you really notice that. Now, even though Malaysia is it's not the greatest polluting country in the world, but even so, just when you come back to Perth, I really notice every time just how clear the air is. But after two or three days, I take it for granted, you don't appreciate it anymore. And what we mean here is to really appreciate, say, the clean air here. You have to keep on remembering what it's like in other parts of the world. So in order to appreciate, say, the silence of the mind, you have to remember what it's like to have all these thoughts running through the mind. To be able to appreciate the breath, you've got to remember in the background what it's like to have, you know, all the different sensory impingements coming into your brain. And now you'll just have the breath to watch, something nice and simple, so peaceful and so nice. So that's one way of developing that sense of value, worth, with what you're experiencing in the meditation, by just remembering, you know, what it's like when those things are gone, what it's like when you have to rush around doing things, what it's like when you have to think, what it's like when you have many, many things to deal with rather than one thing, just the breath. So you appreciate what's missing, and then that gives you more appreciation of what's left. So that's the first way of adding value. And the second way of adding value is obviously the carrot, the intrinsic worth of each of these stages. Simply because you're in the present moment. And actually, after a while, it tends to feel very lovely. It is intrinsically pure, peaceful, and joyful. And one of the reasons is that because the mind isn't doing so much, the mind has a chance to rest, and like any place where you have a rest, like a holiday, you start to enjoy it after the first couple of days, once you're rested, and once you get your energies coming back again. So it's each of these stages of meditation recharges, as they say, the batteries of the mind. If you stay in the present moment long enough, you get an energy rush in the mind, and that energy rush is inner happiness. So to be able to stay in the present moment, you remember what you've left behind and how wonderful that was to have left it behind, because it's just a big burden, a big affliction. And secondly, you appreciate the intrinsic worth of being in the present moment. It has its own joy, irrespective of what has been left behind. Appreciating those two means that you love, care for, find worth, value, happiness in the present moment, and it is the happiness and sense of worth and value which keeps you there. If you don't think it's worthwhile being in the present moment, then of course you'll wander off into the past or future. And it's not just a case of, yeah, I know intellectually it's worthwhile. It's knowing emotionally it's worthwhile to be in the present moment. And that is a key to be able to maintain your attention in the present moment and achieve the first stage of present moment awareness. And as you go deeper into silence, you have to find the worth in silence. As soon as you appreciate the worth in silence, either by its, you know, intrinsic, beautiful peace. They always say that silence is golden. We only know that intellectually. But when we appreciate silence, we know its intrinsic worth, and we also remember in the background just what it's like to have all these thoughts buzzing through your head and having to think about this and think about that. It's such a burden. When you appreciate its intrinsic worth and also remember what you've left behind, then you do find silence worthwhile. And if you truly found silence worthwhile and appreciated it, there's no way that any thoughts could come up in the mind. Or if they did come up, you just brush them away, just like you'd brush away a mosquito or a fly landing on you. And the simile between thoughts and a fly or a mosquito are very, very apt. Because just like a fly buzzes around and goes into your ears, in the space between your ears, that's what the thoughts do. Sometimes a sound comes in your ear and buzzes around in your head for a long time. And that fly doesn't leave for a long time. It's very irritating. It's not particularly harmful, but it's irritating, and that's what a thought is like. So once we value the silence and really appreciate it and have joy with the silence, then of course we stay silent. And you don't have to be like some Puritan meditator, say, I must be silent, come on, make myself silent, I have to be silent. It becomes a natural hanging out with something you like. So when we like the silence, we appreciate it, we value it, it stays with us. And the same when we go to the breath, when we value the breath, value just being with this beautiful rhythm of breathing, As I think I said the last time I was here, the feeling of the breath is a very great meditation object, probably because it reminds you in your subconscious about the early years of your life when you're on your mother's tummy, either suckling or maybe before in the womb, where you would notice the rhythm of her breath or chest going up and down with the breath. And that rhythm of breathing has been conditioned into your mind to suggest safety, warmth, comfort. And so even now when we just watch the breath, it's a calming object, a fulfilling object, an attractive object, and I think it's probably is because of we remember the time when we were very, very young, incredibly young. So it is got an intrinsic happiness to it. And after a while, we actually value it, and it's wonderful being with the breath. And it's the same with the deeper stages of meditation, that intrinsic value is more obvious. So once you get into the breath, and especially once you get into the full awareness of the breath, it's very easy to stay there, because it is delightful. So in each of these stages, if we don't see the intrinsic delight, if we haven't got that very clear, we have to either be patient and wait for a while, or remember what's missing, to give us an incentive to stay in those places. Once we stay with those places, in the full awareness of the breath, or in just the ordinary breath, or in the silence, or in the present moment, then we find our meditation takes off. We do go through the different stages of meditation, one by one, in their sequence, and we have no problem of settling down, simply because we know the journey, and we value going on that journey. If you think, yes, yeah, it's worthwhile intellectually, but you don't appreciate it emotionally, then despite all of your plans and all of your will and all of the things what I should do, you won't do what you should do. You'll always do what you like to do. And doing what you like to do is, if you like wandering off, that's what you'll do. If you like being peaceful, then that's what you will do. So change the motivation, not intellectually, but emotionally, by seeing value in each of these stages of meditation. And that lady emailed me simply because she said, oh, it was so nice. I didn't know what stage I got into, but it was really, really nice. And so she had to say thanks over email. So, hopefully each one of you today will enjoy a very peaceful, beautiful meditation simply because you value all of these stages of letting go, these stages of peace. Okay, so that's a little incentive this morning to see if you can value each stage of meditation, either by looking at its positive, what it feels like now, or what the problems you've left behind. Okay, so any questions about that before we begin? Going, going, gone. Okay, so those who have been sitting down a long time, you like to stretch your legs a little bit, or scratch things, to get yourself in a comfortable position before we sit meditation, as I said, in this ongoing class of meditation, we sit for 45 minutes. If those of you who have come expecting the introduction to meditation class only happens on the first, second, third and fourth Saturdays of the month, and every now and again we get five Saturdays in a month, and this month we have five Saturdays, so there's no introduction class today, just the ongoing class where we meditate for 45 minutes. So when you're ready, you can sit in your meditation posture and then close your eyes. With your eyes closed, first of all, we just remember our body. Wait it for a minute or two just to give yourself time to adjust. In the first few seconds, we're not very sensitive to our body. The eyes closed for a minute or two. It's like going from a lit room out into the darkness. It takes us that amount of time to adjust our eyes to the more subtle levels of light. Now with the eyes closed, we can feel the subtle sensations in our body. If there's anything which needs adjusting, please do so. So your body is as comfortable as you can manage. Anyone who has pain and aches in the meditation, 90% of the time it's because you weren't careful in the beginning. We follow the present moment. Make sure that we value this moment as the first stage of our meditation. Just how peaceful it is. Remember the burden of thinking of the past and the future, and how it's much more worthwhile to stay in the present. As we make present moment awareness our first stage. coming close to the end of the meditation again. As usual, it's a time to reflect on how one feels. This is another place where one can condition the mind to respect the value of peace, of freedom and inner happiness. By focusing on the effect of meditation, how it feels inside, you're helping the mind value the whole process and especially the results and what it sees worth in, it will incline towards in the future. So stay with this moment and how it feels. As a way of influencing the process the next time one meditates. So now I'm going to ring the gong 3 times. The last ringing of the gong, when it fades away, is the signal to come out from the meditation. And now you've come out from the meditation. So hopefully that you've learnt or reinforced another of the skills of meditation. I often wondered exactly how you can meditate when, in light of the Buddha's teachings of non-self, when there's nobody really in here, how can you meditate? How can you make the mind still and peaceful? Now I look upon the meditation in a completely different way, just the way it's a process, a conditioned process of the mind. And the will has very little to do with it. In fact, the more you try and will the mind to meditate, the more screwed up you get, and the more frustrated eventually. Instead of willing the mind, use motivation instead. And motivation is a way of bypassing this controlling will, but still allowing the mind to direct the process of meditation. So the difference between will and motivation is like the will is something which comes in this moment and directs you here and directs you there, but a motivation is like a much deeper force of inclination. And that deeper force of motivation, as you understand from other areas of the life where we use motivation, is something which is inculcated gradually over a long period of time. And you can get motivated from the outside by people just encouraging you or stimulating you. But the motivation from inside, which comes from one's personal experience, is perhaps the most effective. So by understanding the value of each of these stages, and by repeatedly being mindful of those stages of meditation, how they feel, and their inner happiness, their sense of peace and freedom, their benefits, and remembering just what you avoid and the painful or irritating things which are left behind when you get into these stages. By reflecting on those things again and again and again, by experiencing them fully, being mindful of them, it does help motivate the mind. And that's a motivation which goes far deeper than your willpower. It is something which the Buddha called like an inclination. And he once, well not once, but many times, it's one of those passages I always remember from reading the original Buddha's teachings on meditation. But when you have that motivation, he says, the mind leaps to those meditation objects, finds joy there, stability and release. It's a beautiful quartet of phrases. Simply because you enjoyed those stages before, when the mind recognizes those stages, it sees the value in them so much, you just leap towards it. In the same way that if you see sort of $100 note drop by the side of the road, you know, you'll go to pick it up because it's valuable. You won't pass it by as if it was just a piece of scrap paper. There's a different value in it. In the same way, whenever you see any of these peaceful still stages of meditation, the present moment, silence, breath, beautiful breath, or nimittas later on, because you've motivated yourself, you've learnt their value, the mind leaps towards it. Without you wanting to, without you not wanting to, it's just an inclination of the mind, a habit of the mind, if you like. And that's what allows the meditation to deepen and progress. The motivation is the inclination. And that is what powers our meditation. Not the willpower, this is what I should do, this is what I shouldn't do. That's far too coarse. It's a deeper conditioning, motivation of the mind. And this is how you learn how to motivate it. Seeing the value in the meditation at every stage. Seeing its worth. And of course, meditation all becomes very worthwhile. Any questions on that which you have? Finding the worth in the different stages of meditation. Finding the value. I think you all know what happens if you don't know their value, if you don't know their worth. You come here on a Saturday afternoon, yeah, I want to meditate. Then you start thinking, well, this other thought is more interesting. It's got more value or more worth. Or falling asleep is more worthwhile. Or daydreaming is more worthwhile. And whatever you really find more worthwhile, if you look at it, why do people wander off in meditation? Why do they go thinking? Because they have the idea that thinking is more important. Or the daydream or the fantasy is more rewarding. Whatever you intuitively find more rewarding, more valuable, you're always inclined towards. So that bit at the end of the meditation when you value, you really look in, investigate, stay with the experience after meditation, helps you find value. And once you have that value, you have the insight into why we meditate. And the brain gets reconditioned. Instead of being someone who keeps on thinking, 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 and thereby goes worrying, 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 and gets more and more upset and angry, disappointed, frustrated, and all the mental problems of life. Instead, you have a person who inclines towards peacefulness, who values peacefulness, who enjoys this beautiful silence. You know, who's not just a person who says silence is golden, but finds that gold and mines it for all it's worth, which is a huge amount. And in peace and in silence, it's amazing just how health problems disappear, frustrations disappear, one gets a new perspective on all those things which were troubling you in one's life. The body relaxes, blood pressure goes down, things start to get better, you become more alert, more aware. And as I was saying, in places like Singapore a couple of days ago, because people are always into science there, the Harvard professor who earlier this year discovered, after doing MRI scans on meditators over the last 7 years, found that if you meditate, your brain increases in volume. You get more gigabytes between the ears by coming to a place like this. And the proof is there. So, for those of you who are beginning to lose it because you're over 50, you should meditate more, and then you'll be able to keep your smarts instead of losing them like most old people do. So, you can grow your brain here in Nolabar Buddhist Center. Literally. So So there's many benefits. As soon as you recognize those benefits, you will always incline towards meditation. But you don't grow your brain if you start thinking and falling asleep when you meditate. If you're wandering around, I'm sure your brain shrinks. But if you keep it still and silent and beautiful, then your brain is growing. And I don't know these days, I don't know about you, but even as an abbot, you have all these forms you have to fill out. And those forms seem to get complicated every year, the forms you get from the government. I don't know if like the forms are always the same and I'm getting more stupid. That's also a possibility, but I think most people have the idea that the forms get more complicated every year. And so to keep up with the more complicated requirements of our government, you do need, crucially, actually quite quickly, to increase your brain power. So, seeing the value of being still and meditating, and enjoying this beautiful breath. Sometimes you get so still, so peaceful. Sometimes you can feel the brain grow. Maybe, with a bit of imagination. Okay, any other comments or questions? I haven't got one question yet. Is there the first question? Any question? Anyone has? I know the question which most people have when it gets to about 4:15. Someone puts their hand up and they say, can we go now? And the answer is yes. So let's pay respects to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and then we can go on this New Year's Eve today. The eve of New Year's Eve.